Sota Perek Ches, Mishnah Gimel 8:3. The Mishnah continues now, saying the other side of the coin. Certain people you might have thought were exempt based on the previous Mishnah from participating in the war effort at the as a soldier. Here we see people who are not exempt. Ve'elu she'einan chozrin. The following people may not retreat from the front lines to go behind it and be support instead of actually a combat soldier. Habona ve'shar. Someone who's built just a base shar is like a watch gate inside the wall of his property or of the chatzer around his property. So a guard might stay there for short periods, but it's not for living in, and therefore, since it's not established in a place that a person could live long term, it's not considered a bias that would exempt him. Same goes for an achsadra and mirpeses. Achsadra, like a portico, like a covered colonnade. People don't live there, there's not proper walls. Mirpeset is like essentially like a balcony type thing. So again, people don't live there. Hanotea arbam ilanim machal, or a person who planted just 4 fruit trees as opposed to 5. V'chamisha ilane srak, or if you planted 5 trees but they're not fruit-bearing trees, even if you planted 100 oak trees, that would not exempt him. Hamachzir es grushaso, although a person who is an arus waiting to get married is exempt. Someone who is engaged, I'll call it again, who's an arus, who's legally but not functionally married to his own divorcee, meaning they were married, then they got divorced, then he gave the ring and said, Hariat Mekudeshli B'tabat Zu, so now he's an Arush, she's an Arusa, but they haven't yet lived together again, and then the war begins. That guy is not entitled to go back, because that's not considered taking a wife anew for the first time. Also, an Alman Lakon Gadol, and a Grush of a Chalutz Lakon Hediot. If you're talking about a marriage now, which hasn't been fully consummated, they're not living as a husband and wife yet, but the marriage is a marriage which the halacha does not sanction. So for example, a Kohen Gadol may not marry an almana, a widow, so if he gives her Kedushin, she does become an Arusa, and she is like an Eshesis, she's married, so it legally can work that they're married, but they're not allowed to stay married, so such a marriage is not accepted as proper and permissible by the Torah, and therefore it's no reason to exempt him to go back to complete their marriage. He has stayed in the front lines. Same goes for a grush and a chalutza, a divorced woman or a woman who had chalitza done to her. So the kohen hediot, they are forbidden to marry a regular kohen. So if that's the marriage we're talking about, but hasn't yet been consummated properly and they live together, so then no, he can't go back for that. Interestingly, 2 things. First of all, the chalutza is only forbidden midirabbanan to marry a Kohen. So what we're saying here is the Torah saying you're required, let's say, or you're either you're allowed or required to leave the enemy lines if you haven't, if you're like legally married but not functionally married to a woman, that wouldn't be applicable to a marriage that's forbidden by the Torah, or even a marriage that's forbidden just by the Rabbanan, which is interesting. In addition, there's a question here. The Rambam says that a Kohen does not participate in battle. The tribe of Levi is exempt for doing something else, so that would include the Kohanim. So then it's strange here that our Mishnah suggests that like the Kohen Gadol would be fighting, or the Grush would be the Kohen Hediot would be fighting. Why would that be? So one answer is that while they are allowed, they're not required to go fight, they're allowed to go voluntarily, meaning according to that answer, the Birkei Yosef, so that means that a Kohen is allowed to opt to go, but he's not allowed to go if he is engaged but not yet functionally married to a woman. So which would tell you that the people who are exempt are according to that are required to leave the front lines and go back, and not just optional. Okay, others are not so convinced that's the case. Okay, further the mission says a mamzera, so nasina li Yisrael, another marriages that are forbidden. And Bas Yisrael, Mamzer, Lenasin, also forbidden marriages. I don't get into Mamzer, Nasin more than just say that they're not allowed to marry regular Jews. So those people, Lohaya Choser, those grooms who have, they're an Arus, but they haven't yet married properly, are not allowed to go back for those kind of marriages. Rabbi Huda Omer, Afa Bona Bias Al Mochono, Lohaya Choser. Rabbi Huda says this is like a afterthought, if you will. He says, what constitutes a new house? What if you knock down your old house and you build up a new house exactly on the same foundation, with the same, you know, same walls, so to speak, or the same dimensions as your original house? So is that called a new house or not? So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not a new house. It's like the same old house being rebuilt, if you know what I mean. Even if it's new on the inside, but it's not considered new enough, if you will, to exempt him from the battle effort. The Tanakhama disagrees. The Tanakhama and the Halacha is, no, if you destroy a building and then you rebuild it again, even if it's on the exact same, you know, footprint on the ground, the same dimensions, it's a new house, and therefore you'd be exempt from the front lines. Just let me translate the words exactly for you. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Habona Bayis Al Mechono. Even a person who builds a house exactly on its, I'll call it, foundations, L'haya Chozer, he may not go back. And therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if it's not quite the same dimensions, let's say it's a little bit of, you know, they've added an extra one row of tiles, and it's like that much bigger than before in the new house, so that would be enough to constitute a new house, which, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, would now permit this fellow to go back from the front lines because he hadn't yet inaugurated his home. A different side point. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Af Habona Veis Levenim B'Sharon L'haya Chozer. Rabbi Eliezer is addressing a different question. What happens if you build a house, but the house is built with materials that aren't going to allow it to last very long? Let's say just like several years before it has to be rebuilt because the building materials are simply that poor. So does that count as a new house? Or is that just like a temporary makeshift kind of, you know, dwelling place which wouldn't allow them to leave the front lines? So according to Eliezer, that it's not good enough. He would not be allowed to go back for that. And the Tanakhama, which is the Halacha, says, yes, a house, even if it just lasts a few years at a time. So one could leave the front lines for such a house. And let me translate the words again carefully here for you. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Af Habona Beis Levenim B'Sharon, even one who builds a home from bricks that come from the Sharon region, the Sharon region in Israel is kind of like the western seacoast from basically Yafo, modern-day Tel Aviv, up to Mount Carmel, like, you know, Haifa today. So the clay that comes from that part of the country doesn't have enough clay content in it that it will allow a house to last in perpetuity. The Gemara says like twice every 7 years, meaning like every several years, 3 or 4 years, it'll have to be rebuilt. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, Lohaya Choser, such a person who's built such a house or bought such a house cannot go back for it, but the Halacha is like the Tanakhama, that yes, a person may go back even for a house that's only going to last a few years.